I was prepared to have a response because I thought maybe Walter might be the one introducing me. But I will tell you that we're all in the same boat. Some of us have been in the boat longer. But anyway, we're glad to be here. And this is a special place to us. We feel like we're at home when we're here. And so that, I want to commend the congregation for using the young men. I know of congregations that do not have young men. And whenever the old ones die, I don't know what will happen to the congregation. I want to especially thank Landon for the song that he led this morning, and also the young man that waited on the table. This is a very good way to train the young men, and you will have leaders in the future for the church. So that I want to let you know that I think you're doing a good job in allowing the young men to come up front and participate in the services. One thing I wanted to mention to you, I can't see too well through that tree over there, but where I was sitting, it made me think of a cowboy. David, can you read that sign over there on the door? Over the door, David.
Are you talking about the exit?
No. Well, I guess David, well, he's from Tennessee, and that may account for that, but nevertheless, I see the letters XIT, and that is the brand for the big famous ranch in Texas, XIT, which stands for 10 in Texas. But I see that you have need of putting in a light because I looked over here and I couldn't figure out what to tell you about that. But anyway, there you are. If you'll be turning to your Bible in Matthew, the fourth chapter, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be reading several verses from that just a little bit later. But I want to tell you one thing from the reading this morning. I remembered what our minister told us about Deuteronomy 1 and verse 2. They grumbled. Do you have any grumblers here? Well, I may have to tell you about where we're from. But anyway, they grumbled for 40 years. You know how far they were from the promised land? 11 days' journey. If you would look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 2, that's what it'll tell you. 11 days' journey, they grumbled for 40 years, and they were in that land grumbling for 40 years, and all the men above 20 years, all those above 20 years old, they didn't get to go to the promised land. What I'll be talking about this morning, and Landon did sing that last song, Are You Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom? Brother, there are at least 15 or 17 parables in the book of Luke, and the parable of the sower is found in that book, and that just happens to be my favorite parable because being in agriculture all of my career, that seemed to be a special one for me. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. The parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is also found in Matthew, the 13th chapter, Mark, the 4th chapter, Luke, the 8th chapter, and that's the one that I chose to speak about. And in that, there are three things that are mentioned. A sower, the seed, and the heart, the sower, the seed, and the heart. And when we get through introducing that part of it, we want to talk about three sowers. Jesus went out to sow. The apostles went out to sow. And then the last part of it, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom. Let me say a thing or two about the seed. I have a card here, and this happens to be a card that is put on every sack of seed in the state of New Mexico, and I imagine it should be the same thing for Texas. It is unlawful to sell seed, offer for sale, or to expose for sale if it doesn't have this card on it. The penalty is very severe. They'll take your business, they'll fine you, they'll seize the seed if it is not labeled. Back in the early 1900s, there was a lot of seed coming into the U.S. because we were a new country that was all mixed up with weeds and everything else, low germinating qualities and so forth, so that we have a Bureau of Standards in the state of New Mexico, and you probably have that in the state of Texas, guaranteed that the seed is of high quality. Whenever we're talking about seed in the Word, seed is the Word. The Word of God is pure. Every word is true. We find in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, where it says it's impossible for God to lie. We find in Mark 13 and 31, where Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word in no wise will pass away. There are some seed that we have. This does not affect their condition. We have some hard seed. It's the alfalfa seed is one that I'll use as that example. It's a hard seed, and it has to be altered so that it can absorb water, and then it will germinate. A seed, if it cannot absorb water, will not germinate. So alfalfa, the process is called scarification. Scarification is where they put it in a big tumbler at a rapid speed and abrasive material on the inside of that tumbler that scratches the seed coat, scratches it, and then the water can penetrate the seed and you get good germination. On the other hand, whenever it talks about the soil, and I know that some of you have a little problem with that word, but anyway, the soil is the heart. We have a fellow over in the Old Testament that the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. We even have people today that have a heart that is not actually soft, and they may need the process of scarification. Let me tell you about one of my friends that I've worked with for 2 or 3 years. He and I graduated from high school the same year, different schools, 19 and 50. We were 18 years old, so you can do the math. 40 miles apart, we never knew each other until we were adults, had our careers, our families, and a loss of his wife in his family, and his 4 children moved away from where we live. Jimmy came down with cancer. And I know that, Marilyn, you've had cancer. But some of the rest of us have had cancer. My wife and I both are cancer survivors. Me twice, Pat once. So we know what you're going through. But during this time in Jimmy's life, he fell out of the church. He was no longer faithful. You may not believe this, but I was his best friend. He would tell you that. I would meet with him, and about 3 years ago, whenever his cancer reoccurred, he had had prostate cancer earlier, and he'd had the surgery. The surgery was in 1991, and about 3 years ago, it came down again. He had chemo treatment, he had radiation, and they couldn't control it. And he's gone down from a big man of 230 pounds to 145 or 50. Somewhere last year in October or November, going by to see him and encouraging him and praying for him and praying with him, he was restored back in the church. So I use that example there, that sometimes when people leave the church, if it takes cancer to get them back, don't you think it's worth it? So that, I'll tell you that story. It's a touching one for me to tell you, because I know that a lot of you have had that same problem. And we've had family members to die with it. Watch them die. It's hard to do. But there's a better time ahead. And that's what we need to look forward to, so that we have Jesus who went out. And I want you to look to Matthew 4 and verse 17. This is after he was baptized, after he was tempted by the devil three times. It says that he went out and he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's an important message, because it had already been preached. John the Baptizer in Matthew 3 and verse 2, he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Christ, whenever he was teaching his apostles, his disciples, he told them in Matthew 10 and verse 17 to preach, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." In Mark 6 and verse 12, Mark was told to preach, "Repent." What I'm telling you here is important. It was the same message. Now then, I want you to look in the fourth chapter of Matthew, and I want to do some reading here, maybe a little bit more than is necessary. But after he selected 12, Matthew 4, I'm going to start reading in verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom." He preached the same message, "and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people and afflicted people with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, beyond the Jordan. And seeing the multitude, he went up on the mountain, and when he seated his disciples, he came to them. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying." And here we come to the Beatitudes, and I was thinking, the Beatitudes are a very good evangelistic tool. So let's read them. And Beatitude, let me tell you something that one of our sojourners gave a workshop on several years ago. Beatitude. Be is the prefix to the attitude. Be. Okay, let's see the first one. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Remember, this is Jesus teaching the 12. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you are reviled and they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things you fought for falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And then he says, you are the salt of the earth. But when the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? You are the light of the world. Don't you think this is wonderful evangelistic material? And then I'll move on by telling you, and you know this, chapters 5, 6, and 7 is a Sermon on the Mount. All of us would agree that that is the best sermon that has ever been preached. But he went ahead and taught his disciples. Jesus went out. He went out with the word. He preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And at that time, that was the message. Okay? Now then, if you will turn with me to chapter number 10, some instructions that he was giving the 12. And this is important. You can find most of this whole chapter, Matthew 10, where he instructs them about going out. Verse number 7, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That seemed like a simple message to preach. The thing that's simple about it is there was just one message. I don't know why we have so many now, Shan. And we're going to find another one at a later time, another dispensation. But here's something over here in Matthew 10 and verse 19 and through 20 is very important. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you. It will be given to you. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of the Father will be given to you. Now then, let's talk about this Spirit just 1 minute. Christ had the Spirit without measure. That's what it says in John 3 and verse 34. I thought about telling you about some of his credentials, and I do have a few listed, but that is one that's very important. He was full of the Spirit, could not be measured. He had all the Spirit. These had a smaller measure. They did not have to worry what they said, because it will be given to you. All right? Let's now turn. We need to hurry along. I see that clock back there. And I do want to get just a little bit further before we finish up. In the 28th chapter, this is where we see the Great Commission. This is where they are instructed again. And we know what that is, so we won't spend time with that. Let's go to Acts number, chapter number 1. This is his last time that he talked to them on earth, and then he ascended into heaven. Acts 1, verse 7, he says, it is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. All right. And I would imagine that they were probably didn't know exactly what he said. Now then, let's look to the second chapter of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, the day of Pentecost would be the first day of the week. There's a scripture in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, telling us that the mar after the seventh Sabbath, 50 is what Pentecost is. It's on the first day of the week. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. They were in agreement. Paul at a later time said, speak the same thing, have the same mind. And that's the reason we try to emphasize the same message that John the Baptizer preached, Christ preached, and the 12 preached up to this point, all right? He told them, take no thought what you will say, it will be given to you by the Spirit. Let's see here. And when they had, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing of mighty wind, and it filled the whole house which they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each other. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak as they were given utterance. It was not them speaking, it was the Spirit. All right. Then I want to move on and tell you the lesson that they preached. Really, the message was given here, Acts 2, 22 through 36, is specifically about Jesus. That is the gospel. And if you would read that, and if you'll get you a notepad, you'll find three or four things. You'll find that death is mentioned three or four times. Burial is mentioned three or four times. Resurrection will be mentioned three or four times. And ascension will be mentioned. The definition that I found that I use for the gospel is all the events pertaining to Christ's life, and especially the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Amen. All right. This is what they preached on the day of Pentecost. This was different from the one that John the Baptizer preached and Christ preached before his death and the apostles or the disciples preached before this time. Paul said in Galatians, we have one gospel. And that's very simple to me because we only have one Christ. The gospel pertains to Christ. Therefore, we just have one gospel. Back before this time, there was just one gospel. It was different than this one here. Because, let's notice here in verse 36, where it says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said, what must we do? And he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's different from the other one. We just have one gospel. This is the one that needs to be preached. Remember that Christ said, take no thought what you will say. It will be given to you by the Spirit. So that all the writings that we have from here to the end are written by these 12 that he taught, and they were inspired. But still, we just have that one gospel. We just have one Christ. And a lot more could be said about that. Now then, I do want to say one other thing about that before I mention quickly something else. This is the final instruction. I haven't looked at my notes. I guess I didn't need them. All right. This was the last revelation that was given this gospel was given, the last revelation, so that whenever people say that they have a new revelation, that's not true. It cannot be documented. This can be documented. And that's one thing I learned when I was a student and when I was a teacher. You document it. You prove it. And it can be proven. And that's what we have said. So that no further revelation. So that Christ went out. Here we see the 12 went out. They were all there. And every nation was there at that time. And that was a great message also. Almost 3,000 were baptized. All right. Then they continued in verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There was only 12 of them, and we no longer have any more apostles. You can see an apostle in the first chapter of Acts, they had to be from the time of Christ's baptism till his ascension, and that was 2,000 years ago. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayer. And I think if we would do that, we would be on the right track. Let me mention a few credentials of Christ. I know that you're familiar with them. Christ had no predecessor or successor. That's what we said a while ago in a different way. The final revelation. If I could change right now, I intended to do this at first. I would like for all of you to be here Wednesday night. I've been asked to teach the class, and I want to teach it on Revelation. That may be a new challenge for you, a new book. But anyway, it's one that has been neglected, and I can maybe sparkle a little, that's not a word, a little bit of interest where you might study it and get you some help. Credentials. Christ was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. God is the one that appointed priest. That was his son. It prophesied in Psalms and mentioned in Hebrews. God appointed the Levites as high priest. Christ, on the order of a high priest of Melchizedek. Now, if you know anything about Melchizedek, you could tell me about that because I don't know too much about it. Jesus is our Passover. That is very significant, folks. When we look back in the Old Testament, whenever all the Egyptian firstborn were killed because they didn't have the blood, we have the blood of Christ. He is our Passover. And Christ is the head of the church. Christ established the church. Christ knows all things. Christ is at the right hand of God now. Christ is coming back. And whenever I thought about these credentials of Christ, there are more than 500 that are mentioned. But those are the ones that more or less jumped out at me. So that the Christ went out sowing the seed, the apostles went out, Paul, 3 missionary journeys, and then his journey to Rome, his 13 letters, Peter went out, John went out, and all the others went out, maybe not as noticeable as the 3 that we have mentioned, but they went out. We need to go out. Where are we? This article appeared in the January Gospel Advocate. According to the latest edition of Church of Christ in the U.S., 2015, Churches of Christ have lost 732 congregations. And an overall loss of 15% since 1980, I believe. Whereas Church of Christ used to outnumber growth-wise, that is no longer happening. So that there is a real need for evangelism. Some in our area, in our county, three country congregations closed their doors within the last 25 years, and they came to town. Due to death, and those in town grew in number, but due to death and no evangelism, the numbers are shrinking. I was asked the question this morning, do I know of a 1,000-member congregation? And I think there may be three of them in Lubbock. That is, number-wise. I don't know about spirituality. I don't know anything about that. But probably the Sunset Congregation and probably the Memphis or the south part of town, whatever the name of it is, might be of 1,000, and then the one on Milwaukee and 82nd Street. But nevertheless, look around at your congregation. And that's the reason I complimented the young men up at the front working, so that there is a real need for evangelism. So we have the Great Commission is our mission. And there is a verse we ordinarily use, Matthew 28, 18, and 20. There's one in 1 Corinthians 5 and number 7 that I found. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, therefore I believed, I spoke, we believe, speak. It doesn't say it that loud, but anyway, that's what I said. In regard to Christ, you know, we gave you 5 or 6 of his credentials. John 21 and verse 25 says, if all the things that he did and said one by one were written in books, he said, I consider the world itself would not hold all of them. So that he was busy in sowing the word. So as we bring our lesson to close at this time, and I thank you for your kind attention, an invitation is extended to you, whether you need to respond to the Lord's invitation by being born again of water and of the Spirit, whether you need prayer or encouragement. We do ask for you to come at this time while we stand and sing for you.